Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you? And we'll make our own little village, our own little kingdom, our own little place to live together, our own home. Let's have a home together. This place, wherever we are, as long as we're together, I feel like we're home. Home for the holidays. Well, I guess I live here now. I'm sitting in a very small room at a very small airport on a very small island, and the one plane there is cannot leave. So I guess I live here now. All these people, these travelers, these fellow passengers are my new community. They're my new family in a way. And our new society is based on our residence here in the new nation of Impossibly Tiny Airport Gate, ITAG. Finding something in common with these folks is going to be a challenge. The two things all humans have in common are eating and making waste. And between those two, only one has television shows showing you the best place to do it. So we will center our culture around our love of getting chips from Evelyn's gift shop, I bet. Also, I propose that we all have to take turns cleaning the bathrooms. That way you're more likely to not be sloppy when you use it. You know what I'm saying? If you have to say, oh, I think I'm going to smear all this over the walls. Think twice. You might be the one who has to clean it. So always remember that. So that bathroom attendant looks familiar. It is you in the future, my friend, scrubbing that toilet. So take aim. I don't know how I'm going to get comfortable. This chair is not my bed. I'm not even comfortable in my bed. So one of these chairs, I don't know what they're called. They're made of plastic. Like they're shaped like those curvy potato chips. I don't know. They're not really very comfortable. Because no one thinks you're going to be in it long. But if it turns out that it has to be the place you live, it should be a little more comfortable, I think. I think if you just gave somebody a big pillow everywhere, that'd be better. One of the big sitting cushions, large and fluffy. Make that their chair. You can sit in it. If it turns out you're going to be there for a long time, you can literally just lay on it and live on it. I'm not worried about what we're going to do for food because this gift shop right here looks like they have an endless supply of different kind of chips and everything. And I believe, I once talked to a doctor and a dietitian. He said, did you know that you can subsist entirely on Andy Cap hot fries? I said, no, that can't be possible. He goes, well, it's not exactly possible. You have to supplement it with something like Bugles or one of those things. I did not know that. Also, soda pop. Is made, that's what they give you in the hospital. And they give, say, glucose lactate lingers, like on Emergency Plus One, they yell that. So what is that? Well, essentially, it is a soda pop or Coca-Cola or whatever without anything in it. And that's what they're giving you, a little bit of sugar, I think. But you can live on that. Hummingbirds do, and look how active they are. I'd like to be that active in my 90s. Yep, I live here now. I thought I lived somewhere else. And so I made that my home and I called it home. And all these things, these special feelings and care and awareness that I reserved for home, I left there. And now I don't have them. This place will always seem strange to me. And some of these people, frankly, the worst thing you can do is have good hearing. Because then I eavesdrop. And when I eavesdrop, I hear people saying things. And when I hear people saying things, I start to judge them. Especially if they say, oh, blah, 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 casual racism. I go, oh, I don't know what to do. Such a small room. I mean, my inclination is this, is to turn around and say to them, would you like to get a cup of coffee or something? And get to know them and talk a little bit. And after I've shown them that I care about them as a human being, say, hey, you know what? I want to give you a second chance to see whether you're just afraid of losing control of your life. Maybe that's it. And we all feel that fear. Oh my goodness. Being out of control, being at someone else's mercy. When you know what's in your heart, you go, oh my goodness, I don't want to be at someone else's mercy because I know what a horrible person I am. I feel that way sometimes. I think, oh gosh, I'm walking up to this counter. What if that's me over there? I'm doomed. And so you get a little bit of an attitude, maybe. And so ignorance always, everybody gets, I'll give you one shot for ignorance. And then we'll have sort of like, I don't know, the room is not that big, but it's big enough for some sort of gladiator situation. And I would love to fight you. That'd be wonderful. That'd be just, we would just work it into our ritual or something like that. Say, so we'll fight. I don't have to hate you to fight you and to drive this stake through your heart and then hold up your skull and say, I'm the new chief of this room. Is there somebody who's going to challenge me? Like that. And maybe I'd get out of bathroom cleaning. No, I don't want to do any of that. I want to just, oh my goodness, it's tough. I don't know how to get around these people. I wonder if they're going to make a jail of that closet over there. I bet I'm the first one in it because I can't keep my mouth shut. I don't want to lead or anything. I just want to, I feel like I want to be a reminder of what's in your heart, of all your self-doubt and your fear and all that and your ignorance. I'd like to be that. I would love to be that, a reminder of the foolishness of man. See, I remember Hardy White. That fellow was, you look up man's innate foolishness. There he is. That's something to be remembered for. No, and always craving for, that's it, is craving for acceptance and love. Maybe that's it. That longing. But you think it goes away as a child. Oh, does it though? Everybody wants to belong. That's why we join all sorts of clubs and everything, I think. So I would love to belong somewhere. Maybe if I get a hobby and I study real hard, I can get some sort of credibility within a group or something and have their respect at least. Even if they're, I don't know, grave robbers or something like that. Say, hey, we're ghouls, but we're still people and, you know, and we're impressed by your grave robbing ability. So thank you. Look, I took this for you. What is that? I don't know. It was on it. It was on the rotting clothing of the remains that I saw. Oh my gosh! I don't mean to be so dark. It's hard though. This room's starting to close in on me a bit, but I'm getting used to it. And more I'm thinking about it as home. And more I'm seeing all these people as all possible allies and enemies. I don't know what to make of them exactly. I want them to love me, but I'm scared of them just like they were sort of vicious monkeys, which they are. No, that's what I am. I'm an ape. I know I am. No, I really am. I mean, you really are if you're a human being. So I don't know if I want to live in a cage of other apes like this. It's scary to me. But I'm going to do my best. I'm going to try to use my wits to get along with people. We can help each other eat and poo and... Oh, I guess I live here now. Well, I learned something from my life among the gate people that has prepared me for the possibility of being a founder of the In-Flight Nation. This may be trickier, though, as people are not themselves on airplanes because they're shutting off part of their minds in order that they may cede all control of their bodies and lives to materials, engineering, the principles of science, oh, and business, in order to arrive somewhere, to be somewhere else, to live for what they think is a temporary amount of time in a place that's not their home. But now this is my home. I live here now. And people are made crazy by this sort of situation. How can this be my home? It seems awfully like my coffin. I'm in a big old metal tube. How is one's imagination not turned towards the sunken Civil War submarine, the Hunley, which was like a big old gas tank, not on a car. They didn't have cars back then. I don't know, like a huge tank that you keep propane in if you're have a grill the size of Ayers Rock, so that you could get eight crazy men in it. And that's, I guess, what happened. Maybe it was 10. I think it's 8. And these fellas in the Civil War got in this tube, made it into a submarine, and sank to the bottom of the harbor. Isn't that interesting? And there they lay to this day. And I don't know if you know this, but if you have enough air and water and food, a human being can live indefinitely. It's almost like a conodon or something like that. Is that what you call them? Like a star, like a sea star. And they're alive down there today. No, that's not true. They dug them up. They lifted them up from the bottom of the ocean. And their remains were in there. Oh my goodness. And they all had the same expression on their faces, which was, this is not a great idea, but what are you going to do? I guess I live here now, they said. There's no guarantee your life is going to be more than 5 minutes long anyway, so why not make it your home? And they started to fight over what they were going to put on the walls and everything. It's just as hard to get along for 5 minutes as it is for 500 years. Got to do the same sort of things. But this is a very interesting situation with all these people, because I could look around and walk around other countries I've lived in, like waiting room places like that, but I can see the front of the faces of those behind me, but only the back of the heads of those in front of me. That seems like that's a metaphor for going through time. No, I don't know what it is. It's like just sitting in rows in a bus or something. One of the companies that makes these airplanes, even they confess. They go, you know what? We're going to confess it. It's an Airbus. It's all it is. You know, you can call it everything you want, but that's really, it's just a tube. We're going to call it the Hunley Air. Come on, get in it. Is it better to live up there suspended? Or floating or sitting on the bottom of the ocean? I guess gravity has already gotten you on one, so you don't have to fear gravity when you're on the bottom of the sea floor. So, well, the one thing I know that's not going to happen is I'm not going to fall out of the sky. Amen, all the sailors said. And they sat there in awkward silence. I hope they did. I hope for their sakes their last moments was just calm, awkward silence. That'd be lovely. So thank you. Because I just want to be alone with my thoughts. And, you know, as the air gets rarer, y'all get riper, and, you know, I know that's a silly thing to worry about when you have minutes left or something, but why not? Oh, I'm going to confess everything to everybody. Turns out the whole lot, hello, fellow passengers. I don't know how long we have. I feel like I live here now. This is my home. And to live among you, I've got to unburden myself a little bit. I have to be honest with you. As we're about to go, I know we're about to go up in the air. We're at the mercy of everything. Even the very nature of the universe, it doesn't want us there. And we have to live together temporarily in a place that does not want us. And so I cannot be separated from you other passengers. I can't feel disconnected from you. When we're all in such a precarious situation, do you understand me? We're all hanging on the edge of this cliff. About to go up to a place where we have zero control. I can't pretend to be somebody I'm not, and I have to tell you, I have been. All those times I looked at you with anger or impatience is because I felt threatened. I looked around, and even the weakest of you, I thought, that person is more powerful than I am. I'm at their mercy. Please have mercy on me. And then I got resentful for feeling so weak. And I thought, why do I have to feel so weak? Mess them up for lording that over me. And I got angry because I felt threatened. And I made myself better than others. And I'm sorry for that. And I'm prating around here with this nice sports coat. Now, I did get it secondhand. So it's not like I didn't pay a lot for it. But I know I'm trying to look, dapper and everything. And what does that say? Right, I've got it together. That fella's got it together. Because look, he's groomed. So at least he allows for a little extra time in the morning to get up and groom himself, which means he's disciplined. And if he's disciplined, then maybe he's accomplished. Because a lot of the things that we owe to talent are sometimes the result of stick-to-itiveness. And if you're disciplined, you can achieve things. Sometimes all you have to do is show up and do some hard work. I'm thinking of the gym. I don't know, anywhere else you're not really going to be completely adequately compensated. But there's some things where the work to reward so immediate, not really with employment. So I worked so hard today. Where's my money? Well, you'll get it in 2 weeks. Oh, wow. All right. So I've got to go 2 weeks without money, even though I've been working. Yes. I don't get that exactly. It's business. All right. I have no head for business, apparently. See, I associate this. Now I don't associate the money with the work. That's difficult for me. So, hey, everybody, I'm going to go ahead and sit down now. I hope I haven't scared anyone. I didn't mean to do that. I'm not asking for anything, for handouts or what have you. I just want to connect with others like that. I don't know why it is. My heart longs for that. I think it's neurological. I think that's what's happening. I think somehow I look at others and I feel some sort of, like our brains are all entangled. And that we're all feeling the same things, weird. That would be weird. What if we were all similar? That'd be so strange. But we're not. We're so profoundly different. Oh, it's like you're from a science fiction novel. What are you bet? I'm carbon-based. What are you based? We don't have carbon anymore. Now we use photocopy. All right. I think you're misunderstanding me. What? Oh, yes. No, we're made of diamond. Well, isn't diamond carbon, though? Because I've seen Superman crush one and make it into, Oh, never mind. What? I guess I live here now, on the edge of this water. I think it's probably some sort of desert island, which is fine. I'm comfortable with that. It's better to be alone sometimes. Now I don't feel as responsible to others. I don't even feel responsible to stay alive necessarily. I mean, I will, but I don't feel, I'm not out of guilt or anything. Woo! And I'm not having to compare myself to anybody. But I have to find fresh water. And that really might outweigh the being judged by others for my hairstyle. I see some coconuts. That's probably, I don't look forward shimmying up the tree, but I do what I gotta do. I wonder if I'm imagining some of this. Because rarely do they have the opportunity to be completely without other people. So maybe this isn't my home. Maybe there can't be a home without others. Maybe you can't have a solitary home. I wonder if that's true. Because I do feel vaguely as if I've nodded off and I've gone to some place inside of myself. And it feels very much like a home and very comfortable, but almost too comfortable. Like there's another place. I wonder. Oh, I knew it. I live here now. I live here in this restaurant, waiting to be served, a word I hate. Can you imagine if this were the place I live, if this were my home? It'd be so easy to mistake those bringing me my food for servants. They even say, I'm your server sometimes. But they're not my servants because this isn't my castle. It's a place and I'm paying to be here, much like a real castle. You do that. You pay to go to the real castle or the real mansion. You walk in and you go, oh, I wonder what it was like to live here and to be so wealthy and morally repugnant. Oh, I mind. You have to use your imagination, because you don't. It's not yours. You're really having to give up some of your resources even to be there temporarily, just so you can fantasize about actually owning it. It's that way with ships. You go on a cruise or something. It's like, this is my yacht. I'm just going to block out the other 2,000 people. They're not there. They're not there. It's my private yacht. That's difficult to do. And, you know, when you block out other people, you make them invisible, you bump into them. When you make others invisible, it's so easy to stab them or hurt them accidentally. But when you notice them, when they have names, you can say, hello, I'm with 2,000 of my friends. So maybe we're all eating here together. I'll pretend that the person bringing me my food is my friend's mom. And you're going, please sit down, please, we can get it. And she's going, no, no. And you go, please, you're making me extraordinarily uncomfortable. Just sit down and eat with us. No, no. Because there is some sort of joy, you know, in bringing others things to eat and everything. I'd love to be able to do that. Is it like that? Hardy's coming over. And he's got pie. Oh, no. Do I live here now? This is my least favorite place to live. This is the side of the road. There are real people who live here on the sidewalk. And talk about making them invisible. My goodness. Imagine trying to start a home, a nation, with those of you who live right here. It seems easier to do it in a waiting room at an airport or on an airplane. But here, it's not even a confined space. It seems strange. You wouldn't recognize your family right in front of you. Yeah, I don't know if I want to live here. I'm putting out my love, and people aren't as receptive as they were in other places I live. When I stood up in my airplane home, I remember distinctly one time giving a heartfelt confession. And some looked away and some looked at me, and those who looked at me seemed to connect with me. And you could see from their expression and their eyes that they felt a very similar way, that they also longed for the love and acceptance of others. They longed to have some sort of tradition that we could all do and fit into. Like the little ginger cookie culture on the plane. So much of us like, even if you're a snack mix person and not a ginger cookie person, it's so easy to be sitting right there, and it's so easy to get along because you think, oh, they're like me. Except the only real difference is they like the snack mix and I like the ginger cookie. And then you hear some of them go, well, I like ginger cookies too. Just today I wanted snack mix. You go, oh my goodness, it's a spectrum. Isn't it? Oh, I love all of you in theory. That's what I do. I start from love and I let you do what you want with it. And you can just, it's so easy to remove. It's like one of those very gentle glues that some labels, you know, when you buy something, there's some things you buy, like a cookie sheet or something, and yet the label is on with this gentle, clear, almost, it looks reusable. So I feel like I could stick this somewhere else and it would still work. It's a glue that doesn't damage. You can peel it right off there. Yes? What are you talking about? I don't know, friend. Oh, I hope you be patient with me. Are you being patient with me? Anybody who'll talk to me here in this home, that's all I want. My goodness, I don't even want to be responsible for anything. I don't even have any ideas about how we can all keep the bathrooms clean. All I want at this point is someone to acknowledge that I too am alive, that I live here, that I deserve a home, that all living things deserve a home. That's one thing. I'm choking on my sentiment, which is a good thing to do. I mean, no, it's not good to choke. But I must have said it in such a way that my body was here. Have some phlegm. That's what it's like sometimes. Well, you know, people used to empty their chamber pots out their window into the hallway. My nose does that into my throat. Just like they're medieval people getting rid of the night's mucus down into the beautiful streets of my my craw. Yep. I guess that I live here now in my shower where I sing. I can sing here. Why do people sing in the shower? Because they can't hear themselves well. The shower works like reverb in that it disguises that your voice is not so great. I'm all over the place. I love to sing, but there's not always an audience for the type of songs I sing, which don't have a melody. They've got parts of a melody in them, but they're not the same parts. It sounds like a song, but it isn't a song. It's just singing. I live here now, and this is a really weird place to live because it's next to this giant yacht. I've never seen such a big yacht. One person owns this boat. This is an amazing thing. And it's enormous. It's this big steel yacht, and I was reading about it online. It was made in the Netherlands, and I guess some kind of billionaire owns it, but they're very secretive, some of them. And not only is there a giant boat here, but some of these super yachts also have service boats about the same size that go along with them. This one has a big crane on it and a submarine, and it follows around the other yacht. I guess the submarine is so they can look at the hull of the main yacht or something. I don't even know. And it did. So they have a rescue boat. It's incredible. I live here now. I've never felt so apart. Hello? Hello? Do I live here now? Is this place my home? Those other places had what they call soundscapes. You've heard that. It's like a landscape. Do you know any landscapers? Do you know any soundscapers? They maintain soundscapes. You need your sound hedge trimmed. You need your sound trees cut back a lot farther than you think they need to be. They need to be cut back that far. They need to be shaped, don't they? So there is no soundscape here, you're telling me. Well, that would save whatever the equivalent of water is. Yes, it's like xeriscaping or whatever. Is that the same thing? It's very similar. See, there is still sound here. There's still a soundscape. What's missing is something overt, something gross. But what you have is something subtle. There's sounds, but they're so low, you can't hear them. Yeah, that's how we got that expression. Sing a solo. So low, I can't hear you. Shut up, I hate your voice. That's what my grandfather used to say to me. I'd say, oh, that's clever. And he'd say, shut up. No, he didn't say that to me. He never said that. In fact, he never said the word shut up. He considered them as bad words. I was told that when I was growing up. You don't yell shut up at anybody. That's never something that you could say to someone, you know? And I thought, that's fine. I'm fine with that, you know? But he also said you could not say fart. So I was like, well, that's interesting. I'm okay with that, but now how do we describe it? He goes, well, with words that will make it seem even worse, okay? Because you'll find that the euphemisms that you have to use are going to be more evocative. And that's horrifying for you. Then you might experience those senses. Because, you know, sometimes when you think, I mean, you don't smell things when you have in your imagination, but and you don't literally see them, right? You know, or you don't really hear them when I tell you to imagine something or sing a tune, but man, they're going inside your head a little bit. So when I say sing Jingle Bells, you hear Jingle Bells in your head and you're sort of just singing along with it. So I wonder if smells like that. I say a smell to you. Like the other day was the holidays. So I said, oh, I'm going to get out my cinnamon vest. Every holiday, I wear my cinnamon vest. It's made entirely of cinnamon. Oh, it smells great. And what I've done on it, I've put spruce on it, and I've made the spruce immortal. So you can always smell the oil of spruce and cinnamon and everything. I said, I have just walked into a Christmas-themed gift shop, which I'm not going to get into anything, but I happen to know that the actual Christmas, the way that we celebrate it now, is based on a historic gift shop where all this came from. The whole tree thing and all the wreaths comes from one particular gift shop at a historic house, and we had a time machine incident. And so that's what happened. A paradox was created. And so it's, oh yes, the Christmas tradition, that comes from what, 19th century Germany or something? No. It comes from Butchie being very, very careless with space and time. We say continuum, but it's not a continuum, so I don't want to say that. That comes from science fiction. So much science and fiction, it gets mixed up. The people don't remember what's real. Do you remember on Star Trek, they had this transporter? And the transporter would take you, you'd stand on it as if it were a something that you stand on, like a target. If do you ever, somebody wants to drop an anvil on you, and they'll like say, stand on this circle right here, and you go, okay. It's like that. So you stand on it, and then they shoot beams at you. It's futuristic beams, but it's particles that we have even today. And then it's not clear what happens. Either your actual substance is broken up, scattered, shot somewhere, and reassembled, or you are reduced to a mathematical map and plan. Your substance is destroyed, and then those components, that math is used to recreate you, everything intact, your memories included, somewhere else. So really your time worm is broken, but you're still you. So there is a weird identity problem. But that isn't my point. My point is when they got on that pad, they were willing to cede control of their whole lives just to travel. Say, I no longer have any control. Maybe just now I have just the illusion of control, but now when I get on this thing, when I stand on that circle, I will have no control whatsoever. Now things are really just truly going to happen to me. As I said, they probably are already, but it's about perception. So I'm going to be helpless. Travel makes me feel helpless. Why? Because I'm away from home. Well, why is that home and not this? I was told when I was young, there was an expression. And that expression was that sometimes old folks tell you expressions. And this is true, because my grandfather would say, wherever you hang your hat is your home. And I said, well, that like the lyric in Papa Was a Rolling Stone. And he said, yes, you've got it. Wherever you hang your hat is your home. But we meant something different by it. Because what he meant was, wherever you hang your hat, let's say it's one of those shaker pegs on the wall. So this looks like a good place to hang my hat. Bing! You will be instantly transported to the inside of that thing, that shaker peg, that hat rack. And you'll have to live inside it. It's like Horton Hears a Who or something. You go down to Whoville. The Whoville, though, is the tiny micro kingdom inside that little peg. So that's your, wherever you put your hat, you've chosen your fate, and you get transported into that hat peg, and that's where you live. In a way, you're literally living then inside the hat. What if you called your hat your home, and you could put your hat on your head, and you'd say, oh, I'm home now. And you felt like wherever you were, in the worst situation, that you were suddenly home because you had this hat on your head. And make it bigger. Maybe in your imagination, I'm going to make it just a little bit bigger. So at least I feels like a tent, that I'm in a one-person tent. Maybe a little bigger than that. How about like North Atlanta, like Marietta, like one of those mansions, those kind of cluster mansions. one of those. That seems about the right size. A little smaller. You know what? Nix that. Something smaller, more modest. You know what? Just half a cinder block duplex at the beach would be fine. That's what my hat will be. I'll put that on my head, and I'll wear that. Oh, yes. A lot of children are told when they're watching cartoons or they're looking at an actual turtle in the wild. Not in the wild, a lot of times in museums. They can be wild places, as they'll tell you all the time. So have a wild time at the zoo. You know, are you rubbing it in? Because these none of these poor captive creatures are wild anymore. So every time you use that word wild at the zoo, you're killing me. You're killing all them, their spirit. If any of them can read, that's so sick. You know, he says, oh, the wild. We're in a cage. It's not even the wild. You're trying to fool me into thinking. But a gorilla, any gorilla is smart enough to know that where they're from, there's no big glass screen with little tiny, very appetizing monkey fetuses over there taunting them. So they know that. They know that. They know where they are. Some of the creatures that their eyes face downward have no clue. So I don't know where I am. I'm just swimming around. Bless my heart, they'll say, a lot of them, won't they, at the zoo. Oh, I'm in the wild. You'll see these turtles, and we'll tell the children that shell is their home. Look, they're going to take their neck and shove it back down into their home. And I don't think it is. I don't know that that is their home. I think if you asked a tortoise or a turtle, they'd say, no, this doesn't. I mean, it gives me a little bit of protection and everything for my neck. But no, it's not really my home. Just like is that overcoat you're wearing or something? Even if it was hard. Is that your home? Is that diving, old-timey diving suit your home? No, I think not. So don't make that mistake with the turtle. They also like a little, your shell is not necessarily your home either, is it? Or is it? Is your body your home? Maybe that's your home. I don't know what. I keep shrinking it, making it bigger and smaller. I keep telling myself every time I'm in a place where I feel uncomfortable and I just want to get back to this particular house in Kentucky or this particular chair, I tell myself, just wherever you are, that's where you are. This may be your last moment on earth. So I just try to exist where I am, and it makes me more invested in those who are around me. I don't treat them as if they're the flora and the fauna of an exotic locale, which I am visiting on a vacation that I didn't pay for. I won it on a game show. I'm telling you, I don't have a lot of money. I'm just here because I was on a game show, and I got the right answer, and I said no whammy or something, and they said, you're going to an exotic locale. And I said, that's fantastic. Here's the problem. I'm going to spend the entire time avoiding the staff because I can get there, but when I'm there, I can't tip. I don't have enough money. You don't give me money to tip others. What am I going to do? So I'm going to step away. Maybe I'll go live with them. Maybe I'll put myself at their mercy and say, here, I will help clean the bathroom. Let's be a home. Let's be a family. Oh, I'm vacationing here in my home, and I'm home when I'm there at the store. I'm home when I'm sitting at a red light. But here maybe I'll feel like a stranger. Here I'll let myself think I'm on vacation. That's it. And I'll bark orders at Butchie, and I'll say, you there, bring me something. And then I will get what I deserve. I better say it to Lou. I better say it to Lou and not... And not Butchie, because I'm afraid he'll take it wrong, because he doesn't like to be ordered around. Isn't that funny? I hope he's never in that situation. And he has been, and it's been tragic for everybody. I think so. Oh, we all have, don't we, idiosyncrasies. Let me explain to you what I mean. As alike as we are, everybody is... got a little something different. For instance, maybe you're completely different. That's a difference. No, I don't even know what they... I'm not sure what the similarities or differences are between all of us, my friend. All I can think of is I won't start... Where can we start together? Joy. We all want to have our hearts uplifted. What do we like to do? I don't know. Show me something. Teach me something. Teach me one of your songs. Show me what you eat. Oh, that can be divisive, though, eating, too. So you eat that? Yes. Let us fight. So that's difficult. I wonder, but maybe we ought to switch from, because eating is contentious. So I don't approve of what you eat. Okay, nobody asked you, maybe. Someone might say. You can't blame them, really. But now maybe we should shift that and center it back onto maybe, you know, urination or something. Say, hey, we all pee then. That you can't debate that, right? You don't need a special menu for that. I don't know. We all let out waste, but I guess some people do it differently. That's my secret name. That's what I call myself. But do I do differently, or do I do just like you do? Oh, I guess I live here now. This is like the worst place to live. Somebody else's story. I'm not sure what's going on. I'm not sure which character I am. If I have to be the main character, I'm going to lose my mind. I guess I live here now. I'll have to get used to their rules. I'm going to have to master their language. I'm going to have to understand their symbols. All their songs will become my songs. All their memories, my memories. Because I live here now, I made my home someone else's story. And it's fiction, too. I'm sure it is. Yeah, that's it. It's fiction. Because there's ghosts and Victorian horses. And I'm feeling guilt about something I know I didn't do. I don't even have my own business. And if I did, I'd probably pay somebody to work for me so much that we'd all go broke. Yeah. Old, cold home. It's like no home at all. Oh, I live here now. In this video game. I've lived here before. I have to be a sort of god here, but I don't want to, because I can't be truly creative. There's limits on the type of buildings I can put down, the type of lifestyle that I can make for these creatures. I can't even see them. But why do I need to put a factory there? Maybe I don't believe in factories. Yes, it's no good being a god over something that you don't even like. Say, oh, I'm going to make you a god. Say, oh, that'd be wonderful. Over a fern bar. Oh, okay. Yes, and then you can arrange the tables any way you want. Okay, well, that's not... Anyway, but that's fine. I'll be that. Yes. All right, goodbye. And now they've left thinking that I've gotten my fondest wish, but I hadn't. I don't want to just control... I don't want to be a city planner. I don't want to be a god. I want to live with people. I don't want to look down on them from the sky like this. I don't want to be in a game. I don't think it's a game. Oh, I live here now. That's wonderful. I know from other experiences of having multiple homes, now, one of the things you got to think about is water. We're all made of water, and we all need water constantly, especially if we've just had a salty restaurant meal. So water's a number one priority. I'd love to have company, but it's good just to have water. If someone said, do you want to have water or you want company? I'd say, well, what percent water is the company? Because that would be wonderful. Because if the company is a delicious green coconut with, you know, coconut water in it, that'd be great. Or you. But I don't want to take the water out of you, if you know where I'm... what I'm saying. You can keep that. But your friendship is wonderful. Don't think I don't think it's not a blessing. I know it's a blessing. Friends aren't easy to find always, especially if you're playing some kind of hide-and-seek thing. I always took that personal as a kid. I always thought, is this the first time that game happened, I thought, is this a game? Or are you all literally just finding an excuse to run away and hide from me? I got worried. It's not good being it. No one wants to be it. Is it? Is that what it is? You're it? Do they run away from it? Sometimes they run towards it when you're it. Is it better to be run from or towards when you're it? That's a question that only children can answer or would care about. I'm not even sure children would answer it. They'd think, that's a stupid question. I know, that's all right. Can I get you anything? No, you don't know me. All right, well, I'd still like to be friends. You want some candy? Yeah, no, that is no longer seen as a gesture of hospitality, but it's threatening. All right, well, I don't know. What can I give you? What gift can I give you as another creature? Well, you can leave me alone. All right. Interesting. I was just in a strange place. I was traveling recently, and not by a beautiful stream here, but I encountered a lot of people, and I hadn't met them, and gosh, I don't know what it is. It's something I just instantly want to have a conversation with them or feel some sort of urge to talk and exchange information, to find out a little something about them, to have some sort of companionship, to have them smile when I say something funny, to have them commiserate when I say something sad. I'm looking for that constantly. Whenever I see other human beings, I always mistake them for loved ones. I always mistake them for ones that loved me. They look so similar to others who have done things for me, who have lifted my heart up, who've given me companionship, who've helped me, who've had fun with me, who've shared my joy. They look so familiar. I know they must be at least related. If you did one of these online things that takes your blood or your fluids or I don't know what they take, your snot or your spit, you send them your pee and they say, you have a cousin in Detroit. Wow. I did not know this. How closely related are you? You're fourth cousins. Fourth? That seems fairly close. No. Does it, though? Because it isn't. It isn't. It's a virtual stranger. But is it? I don't want to see it that way. I want everybody to be my family. Y'all, we're all cousins, aren't we? We all share some common ancestor. Oh my gosh, I share a common ancestor with a bird.
Oh God, I live here now. At a party. One of these parties where there's a lot of people, but you feel very alone. Isolated even. How am I going to make a home here? Get used to feeling isolated? Or do I gotta force myself to go over and talk to people? It's not in the mood, maybe. Sometimes I'm very optimistic about culture. Sometimes I'm very optimistic about making a new place, making someplace my home, being willing to fit in, cooperate, being willing to be around others. But other times, I don't know whether it's chemical or animal or vegetable or mineral, but I just don't feel like being sociable. I miss my mountain stream. I miss my beach. My beach on a deserted island. I miss that. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love company and I love others. Oh, people have been the source of some of my greatest joy. But other times, I wish I could just cut the world out. You know, they got noise-canceling headphones. I wish they had everything-canceling headphones. You just say, this is also going to cancel out your feeling of responsibility about the future of the past. It's going to cancel out all your guilt and regret. It's going to cancel out all your feelings about the future, all your anxiety about the future. You just put these on. All right. How does it do that? It generates its own counter-anxiety, and that cancels out the, okay, are you saying what I think you're saying? Yes. These headphones are their own source of anxiety, therefore you will not recognize the other now. They're their own source of guilt, therefore all the other guilt is gone. And yet, it sort of does make a feeling of isolation. A lot of people around me. I guess I could get up and what they call break the ice. And that comes from a time when people used to show up to parties completely encased in a block of ice because they would have a very cold. I've told the Frozen Charlotte story before. Also, any bars out there who have a cocktail called a Frozen Charlotte? But sometimes you arrive at parties, a solid block of ice. You've frozen to death in your carriage because you were too vain to wear a coat. Why that has anything to do with vanity, I don't know. There's some very expensive coats. Go, yeah, this is like Canadian Goose or something. All right, good for you. But they show up, and then their expression is, break the ice, break the ice. So you go over to them with, I don't know, a pick or something, a hammer, and you slam it onto them, and it shatters the ice. And they go, hey, you're just like me. We share something in common. What a great icebreaker, one of these games that humiliates me. That's a way, too, that we at parties to so-called break the ice and say, let's have an experience of shared embarrassment and humiliation. And that way you'll be forced to just drop all the pretense. Fantastic. Alcohol's supposed to do that, but what happens is you all get drunk, and then everybody just turns into, because everybody's judgment is gone, you can't see that the person who's revealing themselves is a fool, because you are now a fool. Oh, you're living in the land of fool, you're living in the land of fool. That's what this country's called. It's called partying fool. It is better to be a guest in a house of mourning than a house of frivolity. Yes, it's better to be a guest in a house of mourning than a house of frivolity. That's for sure. I live here now, and let me tell you the problem with that. The problem with that is I have come here in the middle of a transaction that I did not begin, but which I must settle. They're going to ask me for payment at some point to buy things that I did not want or need or ask for, but I am now responsible for them because I find myself here in media res, in the middle of things, in the middle of a story that I didn't begin. But I'm the new customer. I'm the new person. I'm the new main character. And so I have to pay all the bills that were incurred in the past. Do you understand? I've stepped into that role. I didn't ask for it, but I understand the responsibility. Oh, woe is me. I didn't want Fluffer Butter Nutter at all. There it goes by. I don't even have a coupon. It was because I haven't been prepared for it. Oh, my goodness. Stupid history. Stupid future. Can't my home be a lot bigger? Why does the instant, the moment of the present have to be so short? I want it to be a home. Why can't I make my home where I am? Why is the present so short and the past and the future seem so infinite? How can a place that hasn't even been yet, like the future, even be infinite? Maybe it's not. Maybe it's real short. But we won't know, because you get there and it's gone. Just like when they tell you, oh, you got to go to so-and-so restaurant, it's always closed, or when you go there, there's something. Did you get the sun-dried tomato omelet? No, they say they were out of sun-dried tomatoes. Oh, so it's like almost like you went there for nothing. Yes, and also that is so 80s. People are all over those now. Those are passé. Oh, well, I'd never tasted anything like it. Yeah, no, they were real popular for a while, give you a very concentrated tomato taste. But yeah, I don't know, that Fern Bar that I lived in for a while, they had them, and I think that was the 1980s. But I realize people have been using it as an ingredient in, say, like Italian food and all, but you know, people aren't sophisticated. I was in a restaurant the other day, and I heard the restaurant was an ethnicity restaurant. And she said, I've never had ethnicity food. I'm leaving out the ethnicity. So I've never had that food before. So wow, because it's a very popular ethnic food. I say ethnicities because in the United States, we see everything that way. You know, the restaurants, you go, what kind of food is it? And what they mean is like, what nationality, what ethnicity food is it? And say, oh, it's normal Irish American food. What is that? I don't know, friend. I made that one up. What is sophistication? What does that mean, even? To me, it means that you own a smoking jacket. Nothing else. I don't know how much of the world you'd seen. How much you've been subjected to the nice, beautiful, bracing, cold realization that it's a big world and there's other ways of doing things. That you're a lot more powerless than you think you are. That's wonderful. It's eye-opening. It's great. I'm not the master of a whole universe. I'm not a god of some kind of town in a video game. Just another citizen. And now, I live here. I feel like I'm almost back where I started. Did I start here? I don't hear anything. There's no clues, really. I can hear something faintly in the distance, so I know I'm in a place. I'm not placeless. I've been placeless before, but what I mean by that is that there's no placemat has been put down. You ever sit down at a table and you say, "Excuse me," I say, "What? I have no placemat. And they go, "Well, you know, that's okay. Like, you could conceivably still get your meal and everything. You don't need the placemat. Just says we were expecting you. And maybe we weren't expecting you. We thought there would only be three people at this foretop." Then why do you call it a foretop? I have this discussion so much at restaurants. Oh, I enjoy eating and I enjoy talking. You can eat any type of food in the world without a lesson. Well, that's not true at all, because there's some foods you go, "How in the world do I eat this?" And they go, "It's very complicated." But what I meant as compared to speaking with people, you can't always use language, spoken language. You might not know it and they might not know yours. The only language you may have is, "I love, do you like very well made marmalade?" I've tried to try that. Marmalade. "Do you like very well made marmalade? Not the bitter stuff from the grocery store, but something homemade that's really well made. With a really good variety of orange. Do you like that on toast in the morning?" I will say to people who don't share my language. And they'll look at me. And they'll think for a minute, and they will go, "Yes," like that, because they know. They can tell. Sometimes you can just tell by the musicality of a language what they're asking. So whenever anybody addresses me in another tongue, if I can recognize that language, I will say yes in their language for them. And a lot of people love that. Don't do it at airports. I found when I'm going in and out of customs and everything, that isn't a good idea. But just in casual conversation, it has never gotten me into trouble. I've bought a lot of things that I didn't want, you know, like goats and everything, but I've never found that was any trouble. We just keep going on and hanging out, and I have some tablets that give animals the power of speech. So I said, I'll just make it a character on the show. So if anybody is, you know, gives me a pig or something, say, "This pig is now yours. You accidentally asked for it." That's fine. The pig, I will make the pig sentient and give it a voice. It's already sentient. I'll give it a language and ability to express itself. And I'll make it the sidekick on my show. Come on, get on a microphone. If I had other microphones, I would do it. Oh, radio, so much different than podcasts. There's so much, those are millions of dollars worth of equipment and everything. This is radio, and using things that are from cereal boxes, old cereal boxes and stuff, cut on up. A lot of the records at the radio station are from the back of Quisp or Quake boxes or something. I know there's a Bobby Sherman record that just somebody cut right out of a Sugar Smacks box. Oh, my friends, I'm so blessed to have you with me. I live here now, on this earth, with you, at this time. We live together. And I want to live with you in love, and I want to live with you in cooperation. Please be patient with me. I'll be patient with you as I can, and we'll share things together, and we'll imagine things together, and we'll share the things we think of, and we'll share our memories. and we'll give each other clues as to how much we are similar and how much our hearts long for the same thing, a home. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in New York City, New York, and Rockland County, New York, and worldwide online at WFMU.org. Thank you so much for being with me, and I will see you again next week.